We turn in the Word of God to 2 Corinthians 10, and our text this evening is verse 17, under the heading, An Old Testament Rule for New Testament Believers. Verse 17 is the climax of Paul's entire argument in chapter 10. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Here then is a very important statement. And what are we to make of this statement that we have before us? I suggest to you this evening that there's no greater test of our whole approach to Scripture than this, how we should approach this text, this particular text. And indeed the same could be applied to a number of other texts, but we're looking at this particular one this evening. Here is a test of how we approach the Word of God. How shall we handle this text? What shall we do with this text? Let me make a negative comment. How we should not approach this text. And that is to say, in a purely academic, intellectual fashion. We must never come to the Word of God as an academic exercise. You see, to come to the text and say, ah, yes, I see what Paul is saying. It's all very interesting. He says the same elsewhere. Evidently, he thought this was important. We nod our head and then we say, well, we've looked at that. Let's now move on to the next thing. We cannot do that with the Word of God. It's an entirely wrong approach. And it is so for this reason. It is God's Word. And God has given His Word to change your lives. To change the way you think. To change the way you act. To change the way you live in all its entirety. So we cannot come to the Word of God and treat it as an academic exercise. But then positively, how we should approach it. We should come to the Word of God along something like this. Here is God speaking to me. That requires in me humility to pay attention, to be receptive, and ultimately to be entirely submissive to what the Word of God tells me. And then to be resolved to obey its commands. That's the kind of approach we take to the Word of God. But there is something else here. The Apostle addresses for us in this verse, in its entire context, a very important issue. An issue that faces all of us. A problem that all of us have to deal with either in ourselves or in others. And it's a problem of boasting or glorying. And the question is, are we boasting? Are we glorying? In what do we boast? In what do we glory? And what shall we do about it, if we are? So here's a problem, an issue, that faces every single one of us every day of the week. Either in ourselves, or in men and women that we meet. First of all then, as sinners, we glory in and boast of all the wrong things. As sinners, we glory in and boast of all the wrong things. Look at verse 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Here is the most common form of boasting and glorying. How we look at other people and how we think other people should look upon us. Paul's initial point, of course, is that we cannot come to a firm conclusion about things if we merely take a superficial approach to them. We can't have a superficial approach to anything, either to people, or to ideas, or to practices, or anything that we hear. And that has been the problem in this particular church. They were taking a superficial approach. They looked at the outward appearance. Here were these false teachers who came in, and they took a superficial approach. They looked at them, they listened to what they said, and they said, all sounds marvelous. They breezed in, they had all kinds of ideas, all kinds of teachings, and they wanted to change all kinds of things. And Paul reminds them, if we're going to take a superficial approach to things, the consequence will be that he, as a servant of Christ, would be ruled out and dismissed. Verse 10, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. A superficial approach will simply rule out the apostle as a servant of Christ in comparison to all these others who've been breezing into the church at Corinth. There are other things the apostle is reminding us we should take into account. Because if we don't, we will make a tragic mistake. So he says in verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. This is what happens with a superficial approach. The consequences are tragic and awful. And if we go back into the Old Testament, we will learn something of some of the things that people boast of and glory in. Jeremiah chapter 3, which is evidently the passage that the apostle is using as he writes that 17th verse. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Here we can readily see some of the things that sinners boast of, some of the things they glory in: wisdom, strength, riches. In other words, when you analyze all the boasting that you hear from the lips of men and women, they all basically come down to these three categories. Their learning, things that they have learned or things they think they understand. Their might, their strength, their abilities, their prowess and various things. And their possessions, that which they have acquired. What they think of themselves, who they are, what they are, and what they have. So all the boasting of sinners generally falls into these categories. So you listen when you're at work to conversations among colleagues, or maybe if you're in an airport sitting listening to people chatting, or wherever you may be listening to people chatting, you will hear all this boasting. People pontificating about what they think they know or understand, their ideas about certain people, certain doctrines, teachings, philosophies, and so on and so forth, or abilities that they believe themselves to possess, or possessions that they think they have. Who they are, what they are, what they have. And it is out of all this that we get the phrase, the self-made man. This is what our society likes, the self-made man. And all the boasting that goes with it. So you will hear a conversation maybe someone is describing an argument they had with someone, and they will say, well, I said this, he or she said that, and I said this back, and all the rest of it, and so it goes on and on, and they are portraying themselves in a marvelous light, that they were this great intellectual giant who crushed someone they talked to by the sheer force of their intellectual abilities and reasoning skills and so on. Or perhaps you may listen to two talking about some great achievement they just had. I did this, I did that, I did the other, and so on and so forth. And this is what I got at the end of it. I got this, 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 and this, and I was praised, and so on and so forth. It's a fundamental problem, isn't it? It's a problem we face in ourselves. It's a problem that we face in all other people. This excessive self-love that leads to boasting and glorying in wisdom, might, and riches. But then secondly, believers are those who have come to realize there is only one true boast. Believers are those who have come to realize there is only one true boast. If you were to ask me, how do I know a believer? I will say, well, listen to their conversation. And listen to what they boast of and glory in, and you will soon detect a believer. Verse 17 again. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is the believer's boast. This is a characteristic. Because you see, that a believer is one who has come to realize certain things about themselves. And it is a life-transforming realization. Let me illustrate it first of all from the case of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. What a marvelous illustration of this. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. Here's this word, to boast, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Abraham, in his life, he once made an incredible discovery. It was a life-changing discovery. It changed his entire life. From that moment on, he was a different person with a different life. He came to the realization that standing before God, it made all boasting irrelevant, vain, empty, shallow, deceptive. Totally useless. In fact, he realized that all boasting of himself, of his education, of his lineage and strength and power, it would in fact be sinful. Abraham's great discovery, you see, was this. The only thing that counted when standing before God was faith in the way of salvation, which the apostle defines for us, believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. This was Abraham's great discovery. As he lived amongst all these Canaanites, with all their boasting and all their glorying in themselves, in their wisdom, might, and riches, Abraham, of all of these people, he came to that marvelous realization, when I stand before God, all of these things are completely useless. In fact, they are sinful. He was brought to see that all his works were vain. Look at the language. As pertaining to the flesh. And Paul uses this phrase. He uses it to mean that which is the opposite of everything that is spiritual. Anything man rests upon for salvation. That pertaining to the flesh, Abraham realized it all comes to nothing. It is zero. So that's how you know a believer. They've come to this great realization. All my works amount to nothing. And all this is confirmed by that phrase in verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, the things pertaining to the flesh, all his works, all his wisdom, his might, his riches, these would be his works. And Abraham realized there is no merit in any of these works. All of these things amount to nothing. They will not commend me to God. So here then are all those things the flesh glories in. But the sinner, who comes to the realization that they mean absolutely nothing when you're standing before God, as the one who comes to accept God's way of salvation, justified by faith alone in Christ alone. All the merit is in him. He's come to this great realization. Who you are, what you are, and what you have. As you stand before God, it all amounts to nothing. It's all zero. Ashes. Rubbish. It means and counts for absolutely nothing when you stand before God. There's only one ground that we may stand on before God, and that is, as described in verse 4, grace. How do you know a believer? A believer is one who's come to this great realization. Everything amounts to nothing. I must stand on the ground of grace. That's the only ground. He says the same in verse 5. But to him that worketh not, he's opening up for us this standing on grace, but believeth on him. He believes on God who justifies the ungodly. Standing in grace. Receiving by faith justification. You see the contrast, do you not? Listen to the average conversation then. You're a believer. You're out in the world. Listen to the boast of the world. And what does it come to? They boast of who they are, what they are, and what they have. And they will come and say, well, what are you boasting in? And you as a believer will say, friend, I was once like you. I gloried in and boasted of all the things that you glory and boast in, but not any longer. For I've been brought to that incredible, life-changing realization that when we stand before God, all these things are nothing. And my boast is of Christ. What a difference. Of course they will scoff. Of course they will sneer. But you have come to see like Abraham, when I stand before God in glory, these things will count for nothing. But faith in him that justifieth the ungodly. In other words, we say with top lady, nothing in my hand I bring. And that's the position that Paul is describing in verse 17. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But let's take another illustration. Let's take the case of Paul this time, Philippians chapter 3. And we read from verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Here is this word. And glory and boast in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence in the flesh. though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, or are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What an incredible statement. And it all comes down to this, the same discovery as Abraham of old. This boasting and glorying in the flesh, or boasting and glorying in Christ Jesus. And you will notice it's the identical discovery with the same language as Abraham, for he speaks of the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The same language. Standing before God, the only thing that counts for is this. Do you know Christ? Is your faith in Christ? That's all that counts. Look again at verses 7, 8 and 9. But what things were gained to me? Here were the things he boasted of, and he gives us a catalogue. My lineage, my education, my abilities, my riches. These were the things that I boasted of. But not anymore. All these things, I count them loss. They amount to nothing. The excellency, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that's what matters. Indeed, his language gets even stronger. He says, all these things I once gloried in, now I count them but dung. That's how I look upon them. I view them with disdain. They amount to nothing. This is how you know a believer. How do you recognize them? Listen to them. What do they boast of? What do they glory in? They glory in Christ. Go back to the Old Testament and we'll see the same thing. Just a number of texts just to show you how it is an Old Testament principle and it carries forward into the New. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Previous verse. Here are the things the flesh glories in. But in verse 24, here are the things the spiritual boast of and glory in. That he understands. What an incredible word is that. That he understands. He understands what? He understands that the things of the flesh will not commend them to God. He understands that knowing God is the most important thing in all the world. And he understands the attributes of God. His loving kindness, his judgment, his righteousness. That righteousness of God that he has received by faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he knows me. This is what he boasts of. This is what he glories in. This is what he rejoices over. That he knows God. What does Christ say? And this is life eternal. What is life eternal? That he knows God. He knows him in Christ. He stands before the God of all the earth. He says, "Thy God knowest me. And I know thee. Thy loving kindness, righteousness, judgment, all these things I know, but I do not stand before thee boasting of the flesh. No, I boast of my Savior." Let's turn to the Psalms. Psalm 105. Psalm 105 and then 106. 105 verse 3. "Glory ye in his holy name." And in 106. Psalm 106. And verse 4. Oh, the last line says, "Oh, visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." He's not glorying in himself. Makes no boast of himself. Salvation! This is the boast. This is the ground of his rejoicing. And if we turn to Proverbs 27, and in the verse 2, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." It says the same thing, though it's putting it in a different way. We must not be boasters of ourselves. If others commend us, that's okay. That's what this verse is saying. But don't you be a boaster of yourself. No, our boast, you see, is in the Lord, not in ourselves. And if we turn back to Jeremiah this time, to 41. Jeremiah chapter 41. Or rather, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 16. "Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." Oh, look at the context. In the context, there's this line of division that shall be drawn amongst all mankind. And then there are those who shall be scattered. What about those who were not scattered? What about those who are not cast off? How come they stand? Because they glory in the Lord. They make their boast of the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 45, verse 25. "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." This is Abraham's great discovery. Now Isaiah is talking about it. Here you have these two things brought together. Being justified and glorying. The justified glory in the Lord. "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." Romans chapter 5, verse 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's the same statement, isn't it? Glorying in the Lord, rejoicing in God through Christ, and all because of salvation. Believers are those who have come to realize there's only one true boast. Sinners have a vain boast. A believer is the one who has come to that realization. I can only boast on the ground of grace of Christ. That's what Abraham found. It's what Isaiah talks about. It's what the psalmist talks about. It's what the apostles talk about. All of Scripture talks about this. There's only one ground. Not works. Grace, faith, Christ. And then thirdly, the basis of this understanding. The basis of this understanding. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 18, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. There is a proverb, self-recommendation is no commendation. It's in essence what Proverbs 27 verse 2 has been telling us. A verse we read a moment ago. Our own tongues are not to be used in praise of ourselves. Let another praise us if they will, but let it not be ourselves praising ourselves. You see, the real question is not, what do you think about yourself? The real question is, what does Christ think about you? That's the question. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. What does Christ think about you? Take the example of John. We turn to Matthew 3 and in the verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. There's humility. I am not worthy, he says. Such is the grandeur and the glory and the majesty of the Saviour. Who am I in comparison to him? I am nothing. Not even fit to wear his shoes. Even if I was but a footman to look after his feet, I'm still not worthy enough because my Saviour is all glorious. But now I turn to John 3. John chapter 3. Just keep your finger in Matthew's Gospel. We'll come back to it in a moment. John 3 and the verse 30. He must increase, but I decrease. You see what John is emphasizing, this great truth. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The one thing we must fight against is boasting of ourselves. We are to fight this to the nail, this excessive self-love. He must increase, and I decrease. I must get lower and more humble. We are to esteem others better than ourselves, even amongst the Lord's people. We are to say, oh, these brethren and sisters, they are more godly than I. What am I? I am nothing. This is the position of the follower of Christ. Well, what did the Saviour say of John? Let's turn to John 5 and verse 35. He was a burning and a shining light. This is the Saviour's estimation of John. This is verse 18 of 2 Corinthians, isn't it? Whom the Lord commends. He was a burning and a shining light. And if we turn back to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 11, first part of the verse, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What a commendation. Christ commends John. And John is our example, isn't he? He must increase. Must lift up the Saviour, must boast of him, must commend Christ. And it may be in the Saviour's good pleasure he may commend me, but that's not why we're doing it. But that may happen. But our whole objective is the Saviour must increase and we decrease. Take the example of the centurion. If we turn to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. It's the same language of John, isn't it? But am I? I'm unworthy. Because of thy glory and excellence, my house is not a palace. Just speak. That's all is required. I'm not worthy. My house is not worthy. But a humble position. But let's turn to Luke 7. In verse 9. The same personal narrative. The Saviour is now speaking. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about, said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. How marvelous. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Here in this one man is incredible faith. The strength of faith is evident, and it is more evident in this one man than in all of Israel. The Saviour is speaking. But did the centurion commend himself? I am not worthy. What did John say? I am not worthy. That's the language of the believer. Unworthy. I am not worthy. Nothing. You see how you recognize a believer, child of the Lord. We've come to this realization. We're absolutely nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. We possess nothing. And if we have anything in this world, it's because the Savior gave it to us. Let's come to application. Four little things. First of all, worldly, fleshly boasting is a great hindrance to salvation. Worldly, fleshly boasting is a great hindrance to salvation. This we must say to sinners. John 5 and from the verse 40, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honour from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honour one of another, and seek not the honour that cometh from God only? What's the Saviour saying? He's saying the reason why you will not put your faith in me as Saviour is because you live and love this praise of men. This glorying in the flesh. This boasting of wisdom, might and riches that your fellow man heaps upon you. And because you live for that, you will not come to Christ. You will not repent of sin. You will not submit. Christ, of course, presented to them his own example that they should follow. I receive not honor from man. He says, there's the example for you. This is what you are to do. Cast off all the things that people think about you. That's not what should make you tick. That's not what life is about. If you are living solely for the praise of men, if this is what is keeping you, and it will keep you from the gospel, it will keep you from heaven, it will keep you from Christ, living for the praise of men, boasting in the flesh. And he then demonstrates why they will not come, because their reputations before others is much too important to them. They gloried in appearance. We meet sinners like this. They say, if I become a Christian, I'll lose all my friends. Well, if you lose them, they weren't much of a friend in the beginning. But there it is, they say, I lose my friends. I lose this, and I lose the other. And we say, friend, do not be foolish. Do not let that keep you from coming to faith in Christ. This was a great hindrance to them. And the Saviour goes on to speak of Moses. Well, let's turn to Moses in Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, where he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In John 5, the Saviour pointed them to Moses and says, Moses wrote of me. Hebrews 11 explains it all for us. Moses gloried in the Saviour, and everything else he counted as dung. Rubbish! Not interested! No time for it! It means nothing! It has no hold upon my life! I'm living for Christ. And so he wrote of Christ. He didn't write of himself. He wrote of the Saviour. He gloried in the Lord. He wrote of me. Verse 46. This is the position of the people of God. They have come to the realization, I must cast off the boasting of the flesh if I am to come to Christ. I will not let the flesh hold me back and keep me from the Saviour. Then secondly, God disapproves of fleshly boasting in his children. This is something that we do fall into from time to time, and we must take seriously the warning from Scripture that God disapproves of fleshly, worldly boasting in his children. You see, before we were converted, this was something, a habit perhaps, that formed in us. We gloried in the words of Jeremiah of our wisdom, our might, and riches. But now we're converted, but we still have to struggle with certain things. And sometimes we find ourselves falling into that old habit of boasting and glorying in the things of the flesh. Well, let's look at an example. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 14. It's the case of Hezekiah. We'll read from verse 12. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, and the gold, and the spices, and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armour, and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Well, what did God think of all this boasting? Did God approve of this vain, shallow, fleshly, carnal, earthly boasting? Hezekiah is a child of God. What shall God say to Hezekiah? Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. He was impressed that these men, given their status in Babylon, had come to see him. He was impressed. And he wanted to impress them. Because Babylon was a great city, the heart of a great empire. They had heard that poor old Hezekiah had been sick. And so they sent him a little gift and sent him some important people with him. And he took him on a grand tour. He boasted. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. You see the language. You get the drift of what's happening. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. God is displeased when his dear children engage in worldly boasting. And then thirdly, this glorying is to be done on the basis of truth. The Christian's boasting and glorying is to be done on the basis of truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, the whole theme up to this chapter has been justified by faith. Well, he says, here are the implications, the consequences for you who have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Here are the benefits of justification. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's the same word, isn't it? Not only do we glory because of this doctrine of justification by faith, not only do we glory because of the conclusion to the way of salvation, which is glorification, but he says, because of this doctrine of justification by faith, we boast of God. Not only is he looking back in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, he looks forward, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He is glorying in the hope of the glory of God. The whole prospect of glorification, it so thrills him that he boasts of it. He says, because of this marvelous truth, being justified by faith, the end result, as I look forward, it's glorification. And that's the whole basis of his boasting. It's on the basis of truth. It's not on himself. He's not going to boast of the flesh. He said, this is what God has done for me. And I make my boast of that. This prospect of glorification, it is so certain. It so thrills his mind that he boasts of the whole way of salvation from beginning to end, from start to finish. That is my boast, he says. And then fourthly and finally, this glorying is to be done even when we don't feel like doing it. Verse 3. And not only so, but not only do the truths of verse 1 and 2 lead me to boast, but specifically I boast in tribulation also. We glory, we boast, even when we don't feel like it. Not only do we glory because of this doctrine of justification by faith, not only do we glory because of the conclusion of the way of salvation, which is glorification, but we glory in tribulation. In other words, our very tribulations, our problems and difficulties, actually spur us, drive us, encourage us, cause us to boast, to glory in the Lord. I love this whole passage because it gives us a biblical analysis of suffering and how to deal with it and how to handle it. And it gives us all these marvelous truths in relation to it. But we can't look at any of those things this evening. We're looking at this. We are to glory in the Lord even when we don't feel like it. Difficulties put us to the test. All of you face difficulties week after week. And sometimes you face difficulties that take you by surprise. You know, as things sail along nicely, there's sure to be something terrible happen. Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Well, once you get a place to stand, you get a firm foothold, as the psalmist reminds us. Psalm 73. Once you get that foothold, now you start to respond. We don't want tribulations. It's a painful word, but it's meant to convey to us the pain that is associated with our problems and trials and difficulties. We don't want them. We don't want any at all. And if we have them, we don't want them to last as short as possible. Well, here is an important test of all that we profess. When trials come, do we glory? Do we boast in the Lord? When you were well, you boasted of the way of salvation. You boasted of justification by faith. You boasted of the Savior. You boasted like Abraham, I count all these things but loss. You boasted like Paul, I count them all but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. But now we have tribulations. What do? We are still to boast in the Lord. Do we do this? Are we resolved to do this? Shall we now think differently? Act differently? What does Paul say? Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Amen.